We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
94.7 The Wave. Good morning and thanks for listening. I'm Pat Prescott. As we do this time of year, every year we are getting ready for the Pan-African Film Festival, the 28th annual this year. And we got a lot of company in the studio today to talk about it. Of course, Ayuko Babu, who comes year, the founder of the festival and our good friend. Always good to see you.
Good morning. Good to be here with all this energy from the Caribbean.
I tell you.
Yes, ma'am.
He has brought along the energy, too, from Francis Ann Solomon, who is a producer, director, and writer of this year's opening film. She is from Trinidad and Tobago, and she's also brought along the lead actor from the film, Nicolai Salcedo.
I'd
like to welcome all three of you.
Good morning. How's it going?
Yeah, great. Wonderful to be here. Thank you.
I know you are especially excited this year, Babu, about the opening night film, which is what we're going to talk about first. And tell us a little bit about it.
Well, it's rare. It's called Hero. And Frances Ann has decided to use a revolutionary political person who had a long history in the Pan-African movement, Judge Elder Cross, as a kind of a way to talk about the Pan-African movement. There'd be no Pan-African Film Festival if it was not for these brothers and sisters who laid the foundation for our modern world. It's very seldom we get a chance in the U.S. to hear this story because the narrative is that African American, we demonstrated, we marched, we boycotted, etc., and we got Brown versus Board of Education, and we got a few steps of independence and so forth. But it's always left out that all this happened within the context of the rise of the Pan-African movement and the rise of the liberation of 54 African nations and 28 Caribbean nations. And we finally had some pressure to put on the United States to change its policy. One of the major reasons that the U.S. changed its policies towards us was the rise of the Pan-African nations and in the Caribbean and the United States, and in Africa.
Yeah, we don't know enough about the civil rights movement. We certainly don't know enough about what was happening in the Caribbean, where there were so many brave men and women who were angry and who acted out on that anger.
Exactly.
And made some really significant changes there.
One of the things that, and you can get a glimpse of that, if you remember Dr. King's speech at the March on Washington in 1963, he consciously said that wherever there's a cry for freedom, whether it's in Johannesburg, South Africa, or Montgomery, Alabama, or, Montgomery or Jackson, Mississippi, the cry is all the same. Exactly. We want to be free. He was referring because these brothers, Cross and C.L.R. James and Nkrumah, influenced him. He wrote, I don't know if you know this, he wrote all of his books in Jamaica. Hmm. He had to come to a black space and cool out and write everything he wrote and some of his major speeches he wrote in the Caribbean. So he was very conscious of that. And then, he went to, along with A. Philip Randolph and several other prominent people, went to Ghana's independence in 1957. He said that's what changed his mind, understood that unless we tie with Africa and the Caribbean, then we're out the game. And that's right down to now.
Yeah. Francis, tell us a little bit about your career as a filmmaker and what it was that really brought you to this particular project.
Well, I've been a filmmaker for longer than I really care to say. It's my life work. I spent 15 years as a producer at the BBC, and also as a drama producer at the BBC. And then I was making my own films as a director. I left in 2000 and started my own company, Caribbean Tales, which has now a film festival for the last 15 years, a distribution company, Caribbean Tales Worldwide Distribution, a training program for filmmakers from the diaspora, the Caribbean Tales Incubator. And I've also been working as a director, which is really what I am. So how I came to this story was that my Ulrich Cross, who the film is about, was a friend of my family. He was Uncle Ulrich to me. And at a certain point in time, a mutual friend of ours, of all of ours, a man called Desmond Allam, a lawyer, came to my mother, and he was dying. He had cancer. He had a very short time to live. And so he told my mother, please, before you go, can you make sure that a film is made about Ulrich Cross? And so my mother took on this deathbed promise with very seriously, and she raised the money to do it. And that was the point where I think that was always the intention, because I was the filmmaker in the family, that I got involved to help her. And I didn't know much about Ulrich. I knew that he had served in the war, was highly decorated. But it was only when I began to do research for this film that I realized that after the war, he was recruited by another Trinidadian who was also related to my family, George Padmore, who was an iconic communist leader, a mentor to Kwame Nkrumah, who was the first president of an independent African state. And he was recruited by Padmore to go to Ghana in 1957. And I discovered through this life story of a family friend the role that Caribbean intellectuals and professionals played in the liberation of Africa and in the development of the Pan-African movement internationally. And that then became a story that I needed to tell.
Yeah, I'm sure as you did the research, you found out things that you didn't know yourself to be proud of in your own heritage. And then it becomes something you're really passionate about.
Absolutely, because what I felt and what has been said to me by a lot of people who've seen it is I knew a little bit of this story. I always, my grandfather was involved. There were African leaders in and out of our house when I was a child. He was the ambassador in New York and involved in the liberation movements in the Caribbean. But I didn't know the context. I didn't know really the big picture. And so I think it's so essential for not just my generation, but those younger people who know absolutely nothing about that particular moment in time, the late 50s, the 60s, when the world changed. The whole world turned on its head because all of a sudden there was the reality and the possibility of liberation. And it's something that a lot of young people are talking about now, but they don't know that 50, 60, 70 years ago, there were these incredible human beings who were the architects of that concept. Architects of a concept of the United States of Africa. That's what they dreamed of, that all of us would come together and create like the United States of America, the United States of Africa.
So this story is about a lot more than Ulrich Cross, but he certainly is at the heart of it. And for you, Nikolai, what does it mean to you to be able to play a figure like this? And I know being Trinidadian yourself, this has got to mean a lot to you in terms of your heritage, too.
Yeah, definitely. For me, it was a huge undertaking as an actor. Number one, you're stepping out of your shoes, you're stepping out of your timeline.
And playing a real person. So there's a different level of judgment that comes on you.
filling, and as well as it's just the kind of esteemed individual that Ulrich was. Filling those shoes was something that was, I guess, overwhelming at first. But then you step into it and you begin to learn about the history yourself, and you begin to embody that. And walk through it.
Yeah. How much did you know about Ulrich Cross before you?
Before
you
I signed on, I knew absolutely nothing about Ulrich. So I found out everything. And the strange thing is, a lot of the history that we worked on in the film, I found out about through the film, which was funny because I'm a history buff, But it was just really interesting finding out about Lumumba and Nkrumah and the whole history of what was going on in the Caribbean, in Africa, in the Americas, in the UK as well.
And how it all relates to each other.
It actually gave a lot of context for me coming forward and a lot of context for where the world is at today. Mm-hmm. And then simultaneously that was kind of refining my own politic, so to speak, and feeding back into the role as well. So for me it was just a really enormous experience that even up to now still feels like it's rolling on and on. And
you know, Babu, you want to say something?
I want to just add one thing for the listeners. We all know about the Montgomery bus boycott and Dr. King, which kick-started the civil rights movement. It's no accident that took place in 1955. When Ulrich and all the other brothers was moving in the Caribbean, moving in Nkrumah in Ghana and so forth and so on. At one point, President Kennedy, a couple years later in 63, when the kids were killed in Birmingham, called Dr. King and said, listen, you're embarrassing us before the world. The Chinese today got up and criticized our democracy. The Jamaicans got up and criticized our democracy. The Nigerians, all these people are criticizing us. And we got, so Dr. King, if you get criticized, why don't you change? So all this is real connected.
Dr. King was on the ground with Ulrich, C.L.R. James, and all those people were invited to Ghana to come and witness that moment in time, the 6th of March, 1957. He was there, and he made a speech on American radio where he said, a new world is coming into being. You know, and the tragedy really is that it was undermined and destroyed by the colonial forces, who had no intention of allowing Africa and Africans to own Africa. But the dream was created then, and we still have the ability to pick up the mantle and make it happen.
So for you, Frances Ann, somebody who was really familiar on a personal basis with Ulrich Cross, you know, at least through your family, what were some of the more surprising things that you found out as you did all your research to write this film?
Well, it really was the intersection between personal and larger political, geopolitical affairs and the way that everything was interconnected. We all knew part of the story of Fidel Castro and the Cuban Revolution, but we didn't know that Fidel and I knew that Fidel sent soldiers to Tanzania to train revolutionary armies. And we kind of knew the role that Cuba had in the training of South Africans in Tanzania and so on. We knew that Walter Rodney was at one point in Tanzania, but I didn't, and I knew that all, you know, you had bits of knowledge, but I didn't realize that Ulrich was creating the judicial infrastructure for Tanzania and running the School of Law at the same time that Walter Rodney, who was a major Guyanese leader, was teaching at that law school at the same time as Fidel's soldiers were providing military training for liberation armies across Africa. So the way that at that particular point in time, everybody came together to try to create the dream was what surprised me most. And the way that our personal lives, that everybody, the people that we knew personally were deeply involved in this was very, very surprising to me.
Now, Babu, I know that you put a lot of thought and intention goes into determining what will be the opening, centerpiece, and closing films for the festival. They are the three highlighted films, really, of the whole thing. Tell us what your thought process was in choosing Hero and what you most want people to get out of seeing this film.
My thought process was three things. One is entertaining, because we really believe that you've got to have entertaining with knowledge and information. And that's, we've sort of lost that, because in the old days when people sat around the campfire and told stories, they were entertaining, but they were also stories that gave us direction. So one, it was entertaining. Also, the next thing was that it really, you very seldom get an opportunity to find a film that helps a person connect back to how we got. Everybody wants to know how do we get to L.A. You know, how do we get to how these things happen? And this was one of those films that connected those dots. When you mentioned Dr. King at the Independence of Ghana, he said that he had come from Montgomery, where it was a horrible situation, and he saw President Nkrumah dancing with the Queen of England. And, you know, even today there's a pro-English attitude in the United States, because the leadership here comes from England, and their judicial systems are patterned on that, the English style and culture and so forth, the English language. And so England is way up there, right? She had humbled herself to dance with the president of Ghana. That never would have happened before. And he knew that that would give black folks in Alabama a whole bunch of energy when he got back to Montgomery. And he preached. When he got back to Montgomery, he said, I've just come from seeing black folks get free, and we can ride that chariot to freedom. Now, what they all understood, they were very practical, they were very revolutionary and idealistic at the same time. So they didn't expect that there'd be a United States of Africa in their lifetime. But what they knew, they had a moment in time to get the independence and get it going. Mr. Mandela said he learned what to do and how to do from Nkrumah, George Padmore, C.L.R. James, and these people gave him the power to be able to make those moves. He said, now once we get independent, then we can figure out how to organize regional areas, united fronts, all the other things that go with independence. First step is get political independence and then be able to be in charge of your life and deal with that. So they were very clear about that. So that kind of, also another thing that attracted me was that it was important for those who are not Africans, of African descent, those who are, you know, from Europe and so forth and so on. So why should I be interested in this story? If you are a person that's always wants to understand how the world works, then you have to understand this too, because African people are part of the world. And every day you're in the paper with immigration, every day you're in the paper with jihadists, every day you're in the paper with all these struggles and things that are coming out of the third world. This helps you better understand what's going on and how these things take place, and because these were the people who laid the foundation. You had immediately China, India, 1947, China, 1949, independent, Egypt, 1952, Ghana, 1957. So all this happened, and it all changed our situation. Black soldiers, E.B. Nixon, who went and got Dr. King at the march to lead the boycott, he said he knew that Dr. King was possibly the person to lead the Montgomery bus boycott because he'd only been in Montgomery for 6 weeks. He's 26 years old, and what surprised everybody else, he had an opportunity to go to all the big churches in the country. He went to Montgomery, and he knew that the white leadership in Montgomery had not touched him yet. He had only been in town for 6 weeks. So when he talked to Dr. King, and he said, I think I want to do this, all that was because he was full of this energy and so forth and so on. His teacher, Benjamin Mays in Morehouse, had gone to see Gandhi and had talked to Sun Yat-sen and talked to all these people, talked to Nkrumah. Nkrumah was part of all that. Nkrumah went to Lincoln, and Damiyan Skeeter led the firm in Nigeria, went to Lincoln.
Yeah.
Baba Olatunji was the president of Morehouse, president student body in Morehouse. This all happened the same. So this was all the interconnection. But we don't know that interaction. We don't know that scene, that energy, and so forth and so on. A few years later, Belafonte from the Bahamas saying, Deo. So all this is happening. And Mary McKeever shows up in 60.
Mm-hmm. And
the whole thing. So all these people came from the same space, the same energy. Mm-hmm. And if we understand these connections, we will better understand ourselves. Because as a result of the slave trade and colonization, African people spread all over the planet. So a little bit of truth is in Trinidad, a little bit of our truth is in Harlem, a little bit of our truth is in New York, etc. And what happens, we're so scattered, we tend to get caught up with our own ego self about if you're not from Lagos, anything else happening? If you're not from New York, is anything? Yeah, it's a lot of things happening.
Yeah, when you have that, we automatically have that us against them mentality.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
And then to spread us out like that. Boy, can you imagine if we had just had Facebook and Twitter?
How much
easier it would have been to put a movement together, really, you know, just highlights how unbelievable it was, the kind of accomplishments that were made in those small pockets of freedom fighters. And then to find out about each other whenever you did, that certainly had to be empowering for you. You were going to say something.
I was thinking that the one of the biggest things to take away as well is the accomplishments of these incredible people
against
so many odds, who lived in very isolated, who came from very isolated locations. Honestly, I don't know how, without the internet, they were able to connect. They wrote letters. They read books, which I don't even know how they got the books. They connected with each other globally, and they had a kind of mind-boggling level of skill and mastery of strategy, of military tactics, of intellectual an intellectual grasp on history, as well as a very clearly thought out strategy for mobilizing towards the future. These were incredible human beings. And so for me also, it was very important to say, it makes me sick that the images that we see most often of black people are drug dealers and slaves and all this nonsense that is fed to young people as reality and hip hop. Nothing against hip hop, but we have had incredible leaders.
And that's why these stories are so important. And that's why the Pan-African Film Festival is so important. Mm-hmm. I can't think of a better way, really, to kick it off than with Hero. This sounds perfect. Mm-hmm. Because part of your whole goal is bringing the world together, and not just this festival is not just for African Americans. I think it's so important that other cultures also get a chance to get a different glimpse of us. Mm-hmm. You know, as Frances Ann was alluding to, the images that we see do not really represent the depth and the breadth of what people of color have done around the world. But we see that at this film festival. Mm-hmm. What else are we going to see this year, Babu, that you're especially excited about?
We're excited about a film that we call them spotlight films. They've sort of been out in the world and at the same time don't get the kind of coverage that they need to get and that we don't get a chance to see them. And the spotlight, this is The Last Black Man in San Francisco.
We had a great conversation with Danny Glover about this one.
It's, again, we're at a place now, I don't want to digress too much, but the whole experience with Trump and et cetera, all that experience, understand, that's just a glimpse of our history. We got past slavery. We got past all these things. So, therefore, whatever's going on now, we'll get past that. It was important one of the real crises we're in now. We're in a sense, we are in gentrification crisis. We've lost people, black folks who came out here from the Caribbean, came out here from Texas, Louisiana, Alabama, and Georgia, are losing their homes. Wherever you go, New York, et cetera. And it's a shift, a paradigm shift in terms of where capitalism is at this point in the consolidation of capital. And people don't know what to do. There's a lot of alienation, isolation, disquietness. You go every party, you go, people got a little disquiet about it. I used to be here. The film deals with a young brother who grandfather had this fabulous house. They all came out of Texas and Louisiana and Oklahoma and got these homes in San Francisco in the 40s, worked in the shipyard, as Danny says, and got these homes, and now they're being lost. And so the young brother is beside himself. So he decides to go take care of the house as the new people move in. It's unbelievable. Aww. And, of course, that creates another contradiction. And you hear the issue of psychological, emotional disquiet, the whole destruction, as well as the actual practical. And then the spiritual thing of how do you deal with that, how do you handle that. It's a very spiritual, cultural film.
And there's there's a great friendship in there, too. How often do we see two brothers have
two young brothers have
a really good, positive friendship where they're actually trying to do something. That's
and that
important.
Was one of the things I liked, was because there's a glorification of the gangster, the hustler, the da-da-da-da-da. But, you know, there was always in the black community young people who were always interested in consciousness, interested in information and knowledge, trying to pick up a book, trying to understand things. And this is a friendship of a young brother who's trying to grapple with the alienation and loss of house with a friend who's a poet and a playwright. And he rolls on a skateboard. So don't miss them. It's a wonderful film that showcases this kind of thing. That's one of our films. Then another highlight this year is called Zulu Wedding by South Africans. Zulu Wedding, that's our closing night film on the 23rd. It is a romantic, hilarious romantic comedy, but thoughtful. It's the story of a young sister from the land of dance. Africa's the land of dance. You know, they talk about twerking. You see twerking all day long on the continent, you know. Somebody said land of the big folks, you know. What's happening is that this young sister wants to come to America from South Africa and to dance. So she said, you come from dance. So what? She's coming to get, she's seen Beyonce. She wants to get involved in the video scene and, you know, the whole thing. Beautiful. And she runs into a brother out of Texas, calls himself Tex. And she falls in love with him. So they go back to South Africa to get the Zulus, who are very, very tribalistic and nationalistic, the Zulu, Shaka Zulu, the mm-hmm. big folk. And they said, wait a minute, you can't marry this brother. You know, we got you planned to marry one of the great kings in the Zulu kingdom. I'm not going to tell you this.
And here she comes with Tex.
And what's so interesting, Tex comes from the African root, but a different, it comes from that root, but a different aspect. She's a different aspect, and they're trying to work this out. And it's a beautiful, wonderful.
Oh, it sounds like fun.
It's fun. And fun, a good time.
It does sound like
fun. And the
fun.
Music is fabulous.
Yeah.
So those are the...
You know, the festival is educational, but it is fun. And there is so much that's going on now. For you guys, Francis and Nikolai, have you guys attended the festival before? Tell us some of your...
I've never been to LA.
You went for a good... Oh, never been to LA?
No, it's my first time.
We're going to have to turn him out. While you're
No, I came before. I was here with my last film, A Winter Tale. That was in 2008, right?
Yeah. So tell us about your what it means as a filmmaker to know that you have such a great resource as this, a setting where your films can be seen and in one of the major markets for filmmaking in the world, mm-hmm. you know, and so much attention can be put on those films. You know, the celebrities that come out to the festival, a lot of people... This could be a great opportunity for a filmmaker.
Absolutely. Yeah, that was my experience. That was why I was very keen to connect with Babu. There's two key reasons. One is when I came the last time, that is exactly what I realized that Black Hollywood is really connected to this festival. And I met so many people then that I still have relationships with. So that was really, I feel like it really expands the network of the film. But then, you know, the fact that Babu, who is, you know, he's like a kind of a king of the knowledge of the African diaspora. And he's connected not just to this festival, but also to the world in terms of Pan-African film. I mean, he is one of the leaders of our cinema globally. And for me to be recognized within this festival in this way by Babu was really, really important and is very touching to me to be recognized within this network. Thank you.
I tell him all the time that he is a citizen of the planet, and you know, he is somebody who really is bringing us together in a special way.
But he knows African cinema. Mm-hmm. He knows diaspora cinema. He's a specialist. He loves film, and he is a leader in this area, in this very specialized area. So it's an honor, and I want to be here and to honor this festival and to be part of it.
Yeah, I think it's wonderful.
I just want to say two things. One, we decided to stay in L.A. and build the festival because it's Hollywood. And we felt it was so important to have a showcase where we could show Hollywood and show independent distributors that there's an audience. This is what film festivals do, to show that there's an audience. And also develop an audience and be not in Atlanta, which we really wanted to go to Atlanta, but here in Hollywood, where you're dealing with, as Danny says, popcorn cinema, it was very important. But I'd like to take the credit, what you're saying. I accept that humbly. But when you get a chance, as a friend of mine said, we came out, I'm really a product of the 60s. And so when you get a chance to go to Dar es Salaam, and we're sitting at the university and hear Walter Rodney, who wrote a book called How Europe Underdeveloped Africa, and you develop your life. Your life starts with before Walter and after Walter. He's speaking at the University of Dar es Salaam. Then maybe a couple weeks later, you run into Albert Cross, and you see the independence of Tanzania and independence of all, and Bill Sutherland, who had served 5 years in jail with Bayard Rustin, who sent him to Ghana, and you knew the kind of work they did. Then you got to know that you better do some work. So in the morning, those ancestors are watching me. You know what I mean? I can't just act like I don't know. Mm-hmm. I'm just riding down the street. So I know in our historical period, we got to tell their story. So that's how that happened. You know, so they push you. You know, it's true about the ancestors. You
it
know.
Really is true. Yeah. Yeah, it absolutely is true. And there is a lineage, and we have a responsibility because that information, you know, it is not in the history books. It has not been documented. It has, in the way that it should have been, it has not been documented on film. And it's such a huge, like, I agree. They are sitting on my shoulders as I got to know them, as I got to know Ulrich, as I got to know Padmore and Nkrumah. They became my ancestors, is such a distant word. They were my buddies. They were my friends. They were my uncles. They were telling me exactly what to do. And I had to listen to them. So nobody had sway on my mind because I was so propelled by their journey, their passion, their thinking. You get inside of what they did and you have no choice. You have to tell that story. And to be able to join up with Babu, who is on that same road, who has traveled that path right through to this moment, and for us to join up and amplify our voices in order to overcome the ongoing, you know, obstructions that are put in our way in terms of achieving our liberation is so important.
Exactly. We've been talking today to Frances Ann Solomon, producer, director, and writer of the film Hero, which will be the opening night film for this year's Pan-African Film Festival, and Nicolas Salcedo, who is the lead actor who is going to play Ulrich Cross in this film, and we're certainly looking forward to seeing that and to showing you a little bit of L.A.
Yeah.
And, of course, to Ayuko Babu, who is the founder of the festival and somebody who, you know, just as those of us who are coming to attend it, nobody is as excited as Babu is about the films. And I know you have a couple of new things coming up this year. The John Singleton Short Film Competition is one of them. We'll be seeing the films from the winners of that. And talk about some of the other things that go on, though. The Arts Festival, the Children's Fest, Deals for Seniors. This is a fun festival that really is more than
Across
a film festival. It is a community
exactly.
event.
Exactly. Let me say this about the John Singleton initiative. First, I want to give a shout out to President City Council Herb Wesson, because if it wasn't for Herb, we would not have gotten that initiative. He called us one day and said, listen, I think we need to have a salute to John by having a film competition. Can you handle it? Will you be interested in doing that? I'll get the money together. And they put together the money to give $20,000 prizes to the three winners of the John Singleton competition to make a film to reflect John's vision and show people what can be done. And he gave that, when he gave that responsibility to us, he said, now, make sure you don't embarrass me in the paper. And then let's do this. So that's an exciting thing. We've got another exciting program. We just did this thing with YouTube in terms of a competition for filmmakers around the continent of Africa, getting them involved in that connection, that relationship.
So we'll get to see some of those films.
Some of those films. Mm-hmm. Another thing, we got about five or six workshops. One of the things with Last Black Man in San Francisco, Danny's going to be there, Jimmy Fields is going to be there, but we're also going to have Darian Goodman from the Crenshaw Subway Coalition, which is leading the struggle around gentrification in that area and the allocation of the funds for the rebuilding of that whole area.
Yeah, and that and whole area, Lemert, Baldwin Hills, all in play right now.
He's going to have a whole discussion with that and in and around that, use that opportunity to educate and then have some people get up and go do something. So there's a lot of things. It's 12 days, over 200 films, brand new films around the world, about 100 major painters, artists, and clothes designers and jewelers.
So that's right. We do all our holiday shopping.
Right there. If you save your money
in February,
if you still got some money over from Christmas, Kwanzaa, and New Year's, come and see all these artists. They all come from all over the world.
So many beautiful things.
Beautiful things, yeah. And they come, you know, across the planet for 12 days. You can sit in one place at one time for 12 days and go around the world. And that's what we. And I would be doing it myself every day if I wasn't working here.
Yeah,
it's that kind of experience. So it goes from 9 in the morning to midnight. We're going to bring about 5,000 middle school, high school kids that come in and see films and have discussions in the morning.
So important.
Seniors come in and see free films. To just expose again, because I grew up when we had to go 100 miles to get a James Brown and Miles Davis record. I was raised in Cheyenne, Wyoming, and I had to go all the way to Denver to get those records. So I'm really excited.
Yeah. And with the festival's home continuing to be that Baldwin Hills Crenshaw Plaza, that is just such a perfect place. I mean, there's a lot of parking around there. You know, there's the food court is fantastic over there in the mall. There are places to hang, like nice restaurants there, Post and Beam, and, you know, the Debbie Allen Dance Academy is right there, too. So it has become kind of a cultural hub, especially when the Pan-African Film Festival is happening. 28 years strong now. And I tell you, because of you, Babu, we get a chance to see great film like the ones we will see coming up on Tuesday, February 11th, when the festival begins, and we'll all be seeing Hero. And looking forward to that so much, Francis Ann, and also
Thank
Nikolai.
Thank you.
And so nice to get a chance to meet you and find out more about it. Yeah. In closing, Babu, why do you want people to come and attend
First,
this festival?
First, let me say this. Go online. All the films are online, paff.org. The times, the locations, et cetera.
And trailers, too, so you can get an idea of what the film is
exactly
about.
What's
a lot of information.
List of the artists are there online. We're located at King and Crenshaw. People used to say, Robert Shield used to say, well, they're only 5 minutes from the 10 freeway south to King and King Boulevard and Crenshaw Boulevard at the Baldwin Hills Crenshaw Plaza, Cinemark Ray 15, where Magic Theater used to be. Don't miss it. We're there for 12 days. Come out and enjoy. Take your time. Hang out with folks. Meet people you haven't seen in a long time. And come out and hang out with Elder Cross. You don't get a chance to. His ancestors are going to show up. He's going to be walking around. I remember when
people won't be saying who is that.
Yeah,
anymore.
Exactly. Forest Whitaker once told me when he did the King of Scotland. And if you remember in the King of Scotland, it was really about the young guy, the young white guy who was the doctor.
Yeah.
But all of a sudden, the film changed to Amin. If those who remember, you go back and look at that.
Yeah.
He said, Brother Amin showed up on the set, invaded Forrest's spirit, and directed him the rest of the way.
Yeah.
He
really?
Told me that.
Wow. It's a good thing to have happen.
So this is happening at the festival. That kind of energy.
Creates great art for us,
yes.
too. That's paff.org for the Pan-African Film Festival, February 11th through the 23rd, as Babu said, at the Cinemark BH15, and we will be there.
Thank you.
Thank you all so much for spending some time for us and for creating this great work to preserve our wonderful history and culture. It's fantastic.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you very much.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s?
It's better over here.
Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.